Gregory bravely sacrificed himself to become the ship's rudder.
I think that's false.
Oh, Master Splinter's super toads mad.
But yes! Yeah. Yeah!
Two broomsticks at the same time.
Expecto Patronum! You'll never amount to anything!
Completely false.
If it was Andy's Girthy Candy, there's no way they'd ever change that name.
So, wait, is it goblins? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, this one is true!
I am chocolate.
And the theme of today's podcast is...
Wait, are we still in the intro?
Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Allegedly Podcast, where me and my co-host get a mystery topic coupled with some mystery facts, and it's our job to figure out which facts are real and which facts are fake. My name is Alex, and with, as always, is Joe. Big yawn.
What's up?
Is Joey Bay tired?
No.
Busy weekend?
Shut up.
Did you miss a nap?
God.
You sound like you're grumpy.
I'm not grumpy.
Give me a nap.
You're grumpy.
Are you a napper, Joe?
No, I'm not.
I am definitely a napper.
Like, I was, I always feel like when I wake up from a nap, like I wasted time. That I could
well,
have been
did.
Doing
you slept.
Nothing at all.
Stationary.
I could have been watching something interesting.
Well, see, like... Yeah, I mean, you've come down. You've seen me. Like, we hang out on the couch. We watch a movie. You've seen me just pass the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. You're like you're a panda. Just... You're like a panda bear.
Dude, especially after we get, like, a big meal, I'm just like...
Just naps for 16 hours a day.
So I love this story. To show you my nap capabilities, my dad drove from Arizona to Reno in Nevada. We were on a trip to go to one of my cousin's weddings. And so it was just me and him in a car. And I feel so bad to this day. But I passed out. I shit you not. The full 12-hour drive.
Nice.
It was the full 12. Like, because I just, I don't know. My dad used to drive me. My parents used to drive me around the car to make me fall asleep as a kid.
Right.
You know, and I just, car rides just make me pass out. So the full 12-hour drive, and I feel for my dad, too. He was, like, probably looking forward to spending some time with his son, and I passed the fuck out.
Yeah.
So that was my napping capabilities.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. There's something about airplanes.
Mm.
I just sleep on airplanes.
That's lucky.
Like, there's. I think it's just like, well, out of my hands now. I once went to Florida from Washington, and so it was like 2 4-hour flights, right?
Mm-hmm.
We stopped in Denver, Colorado. I didn't sleep on that flight. We get to Denver, get on the next flight, and they're de-icing the wings.
Oh my God.
Fell asleep for 2 hours, woke up still on the tarmac. They were like,
oh,
it took so long to get planes off that the wings would keep icing over.
Oh no,
they were still de-icing the wings. And I was like, I looked around, I was like, oh, like where are we? Like, oh man, we're still in Denver. Passed out for 4 more hours.
Oh my God.
And then woke up and they're like, we're about to land in Orlando.
Gee, did you did anybody, like, hostess come up and be like, check his pulse?
Right, yeah. I was snuggled, man. I was in. I was like, well, all right. Then
did you have
a catch up on some Z's here?
Did you have a window seat?
That one I did, yeah.
There you go. It's that corner. You get that corner just right, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, dozing is the worst, right? Like, I'm trying to push through it, and you just kind of, like, if you're doing something you want, right?
Right.
Like, I'm gaming, or I'm watching a movie, and I just start to doze. That's the worst. It feels impossible. So, there you go. That's our napping backstory. You can learn a little more about us.
Every week, you get little nuggets.
Little Joe nuggets. Little Alex nuggets. We nug all over you.
little meaty nugs.
There you go. So every week you get a little more. Next week we'll probably nug a little bit about, I don't know, hobbies, sports we watch.
Shark Week.
Shark Week. Oh, we nug all over Shark Week hard. Oh, shit. Well, we have a podcast to get to. We got a topic and everything.
Oh, very cool.
Oh,
No, yeah, this wasn't just, this wasn't an episode of Nug Corner.
Oh, we got some Nug Corner we got to take care of. let me recover from our initial nug, and then we'll
keep get a little post nug Sammy.
I get some post nug clarity. I'm like, I shouldn't have shared that.
Oh, where am I?
All right, so you ready for today's podcast?
God, I hope it has something that we can tie nugs into.
Oh, I really do too. All right, so today's podcast topic is medieval times. I'm really hoping the writer ties in like the medieval times company.
Or is it, or if it that's true, is it, are we just talking about the the performance place, the performance
no, it
center
says,
that is medieval times, or the actual times of medieval?
The actual time. So it says, note, the Middle Ages refer to a time period between classical antiquity and the Renaissance, approximately 500 to 1500 AD.
Mm.
Medieval refers to objects, people, places, art, etc. from the Middle Ages in time period. So a medieval book would have been written during the Middle Ages.
Okay.
Fun fact, I still to this day cannot remember how to write the word medieval. It's medieval.
Right.
I keep saying medieval.
I always put evil in there.
Middle evil. It's not quite full evil, Ari. It's middle
fun
evil.
Fun fact, that was J.R.R. Tolkien's first draft of The Lord of the Rings.
He's like, it's middle evil.
Middle
and they're
evil.
Like, that doesn't, that doesn't sound good. He's like, you're right. Middle Earth? Sounds a little better.
Better, I guess.
He played off Midgard. Are we all like, come on, dog? But Midgard started as medieval too, so.
Yeah. Sauron was originally from medieval, and he's, it's a bit on the nose, honestly.
Yeah. Sauron came from the same place the Ice Queen did, so. Medieval.
Tilda Swinton's?
Oh, Tilda Swinton. She's my androgynous goddess slash god.
You know, I've never actually seen like an interview of her, and I never want to. I want her to always live in the ether.
Yeah, she was never hotter than that part she played as Gabriel in
Constantine?
Whatever. Constantine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know if I'm turned on or I just want to be a buddy.
Or both. How about both?
Yeah. I'm kind of confused, but I'm into it. Fucking Tilda Swinton.
Hey, look, I watched a wonderful movie called The Only Lovers Left Alive, where Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton, great name couple, play like modern like mopey vampires. And I wanted to be that meat in that sandwich pretty hard.
Yeah, I get it. Tonda Swiddleton?
Ooh, that's a good one.
A Tonda Swiddleton sandwich?
Yeah. Also, Anton Yelkin was in it in one of his last roles. And so, like, it was just a name collage.
I've never heard. So, well, we'll throw that into the collage of movies that we have.
It was a really small film.
We'll have to check it out. All right. Are you ready for some medieval times?
I am.
Let's get.
I always go. Can I pick the Black Knight? I want the Black Knight to win.
Black Knight. I was usually the Green Knight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Black Knight's the bad guy.
I know. That's why I wanted him to win.
But he always loses. That's the
I
whole
know,
point.
I, but I always root for him.
He's such a jerk. He just comes in. Ah,
but
I'll take your women.
The
and
coolest.
Like, yeah.
But the coolest suit.
Yeah, he did. He had like the coolest horse and the suit and the music and everybody boos him and he doesn't give a fuck.
It's great.
I was a Green Knight because he's usually a bitch, right? But like he's like the Norway guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, ha ha, and he always has like flowing long hair and shit. But he's always the guy that's like, I got this, and then he gets his bitch slapped. I'll take care of him. Oh, shit.
I honestly forgot that they had personalities.
I think they, it just depends on the show, but I usually think there's like a role to play per the whatever franchise you're going to.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always fun. You always get like a pheasant with your Diet Coke.
They're like, no utensils. Call everyone a wench. But you can get Coke products.
Oh, fuck.
All right, dog. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Fact number one. Da, 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 da. In medieval Germany, a man and a woman could get a divorce by A, making a dissolution offer to the other party of 24 sheep, 13 goats, or 7 cows, B, getting the head baker and blacksmith to vouch for your depression and misery, or C, trial by combat between husband and wife.
I love
Holy
C.
Holy shit, it's one of these.
Yeah, I love C, but I doubt it.
How? But like, I'm usually thinking the woman gets a raw deal out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, she doesn't own anything, so how could she, like, offer 24 sheep, 13 goats, and 7 cows? Like,
well, I would imagine it's the husband wants a divorce.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, so he gives her the sheep, and then where does she go? Because she can't own land.
He would give her father the sheep.
So she'd just go back to her dad.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, like, back then, to wed a woman, if you had money for sheep, that means you were probably fairly wealthy, and so to wed someone's daughter, you would have to make a dowry, and that was typically, you would pay the father a certain amount of land or gold or livestock or something like that, and then he'd be like, okay, you can have my daughter, you paid enough money. So I'd imagine that the reverse is true. It's like, yeah, I fucking hate your daughter, and he's like, yeah, she's a bit of a fucking cow, right? I'll take 24 sheep.
Oh, shit. So what are you thinking? I'm thinking, I think you're right. I think A.
I think
it's kind of weird to get, like, the voucher of the head baker and blacksmith.
It's a weird... Yeah, that's a weird thing. I also imagine, like, getting divorced was also really taboo.
Yeah.
As well. So, like, I don't know. The idea of, like, returning a wife.
Yeah.
Like, I still think would look bad on you.
Well, that's why you make the offer of the cows, the sheep.
Right, yeah. I guess that, yeah.
Or you kill her subtly, I guess. That's what King George or whoever did, right? King Henry.
Mm-hmm. He just made a new church.
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to convert to this, and I'm going to fucking cut her head off. I don't want to do this anymore.
We're cool now.
Don't worry, guys. I got this.
this God loves a divorce.
So, all right. Let's go. We're going A? All right. So for fact number one, we're going to go A, that in medieval Germany, a man and a woman could get a divorce by making a dissolution offer to the other party of 24 sheep, 13 goats, or 7 cows. 3, 2, 1, bam. No, it's trial by combat.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
What? Oh my god. So many dudes out there just thinking about murdering their wives.
I had a feeling because it was death to his part, so you'd fucking kill
him. Oh, I did.
Okay, here. So this says from ancientorigins.net in Live Science, a medieval German manuscript found by Professor Kenneth Hodges of University of Oklahoma outlines the rules for this penultimate means of resolving a martial dispute, trial by combat. Both parties must wear one-piece bodysuit. The man is then placed in a 3-inch deep waist height hole and one hand tied behind his back. The woman gets to move around freely outside and around the hole. Each gets 3 of a designated weapon. The woman gets a prison-style rock in a sock, which is meant to beat her husband, and the man gets an equally length wooden club, which he uses to bludgeon his wife. If the man tries to leave the hole or even touch the sides, he has to forfeit one of his clubs. But should the woman attack the man as he is in the process of forfeiting one of the clubs, she has to forfeit one of her rocks. If they don't kill each other and the man is ejected and the man is adjudged guilty. He's immediately dragged out of the hole and hanged in the town square. If the woman is guilty, she is put into the hole and buried alive.
Oh my God.
How exactly did they determine who guilty one if one wasn't dead or unconscious? That part was left unclear. So fill in the blank. Obviously, the one who guilty is the woman. The one who has a vagina. That's me filling in the blank.
Hey, look. At least they made it, they tried to make it fair. He's in a hole.
Like, what kind of, people that were starved for, bloodshed were like, okay, guys, this is the divorce proceeding. Got it. We're just going to have a man and woman fight. Well, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Men are bigger and stronger. Like,
hear me out. We're going to put the guy in a hole. Go on.
Okay. I see that. But, he's still, only in a hole. Like, upper body strength is pretty substantial.
Wait. We're going to tie one hand behind his back.
What? Okay, so you got one hand behind his back. He's in a hole.
Mm-hmm.
But now it feels like, you know, he still can grab her, pull in the hole and shit. Like,
we'll make it. She can't go in the hole, obviously.
Oh, okay, so she can't go in the hole.
And he can't get out of the hole.
But then she still has to reach him to, kill him, right? Like, he's just going to grab her and fucking beat the shit out of her.
She's going to have a really long sock with a rock in it. She doesn't. She can't get within arm's length.
Well, wait. So then he's at the disadvantage. She has one arm, can't get out of the hole. You know, she's just gonna beat him to death with a long sock rock.
Not if he has a stick.
Oh,
I don't see everything out.
I don't see any holes in this plan.
Oh. Anyways, I'm gonna go kill my wife.
Yeah. What I'm saying is this is a trial by combat with my
wife. And the fact that I'm a jousting champion has nothing to do with the fact why I have a stick.
It's a lance. Okay.
Anyways, Susie.
Yeah. How much do you have to hate the other person you're married to be okay with this?
You want to fuck the baker that this is?
Yeah. And that's coming from the guy. Guy who's like, that baker's got them strong arms I desire.
Right. Shit, yeah, it seems... Dude. To me, it seems more now of if the woman was unsatisfied, you'd be like, look, you can get a divorce. If you want.
Yeah, but you have to you have to beat your wife to death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is how you get out of this marriage. You just beat her to death. Some people would like to think that this happened once and they were... I think this happened a lot.
Look... I think this is more for if the lady wanted a divorce, because I think the guy could just beat his wife to death at any time.
Yeah. instead of doing that, he's like, some bandits jumped in and killed my wife.
Look, I'll pay 7 goats. It's. I think this is if the lady wanted to get out. It's like, all right, well, you got to
fight him. Got
to murder him, or else he's coming for you.
You got to use this rock.
You got it.
Oh shit. No, the writer just texted. The record showed that the lady was often the winner. So you're right.
Yeah, this was clearly. It's like, look, we'll give you the best chance we can. He's in a hole with one hand tied behind his back. But you gotta make sure he goes down.
Oh shit. Alright. Well, we got that one wrong, Joe. Let's hope we make it up.
Not off to a great start, but
not great. All right, so let's jump to fact number 2. Which of the following is not a real reported medieval scandal? Is it A farmer's plow slices off the pinky toe of the king? The king barely survived the resulting infection and suffered permanent side effects, including bouts of impotence. The toe incident was blamed for the king's subsequent inability to father a son and produce an heir. The farmer, the queen, and the plow were all hanged in the town square. Is that A? Is it B, the Pope, the son of the Pope throws a sex banquet at the Papal Palace with 50 ladies of the night? One event involved all the naked women crawling around on the floor collecting chestnuts and trinkets that were scattered about while the Pope and dinner guests looked on. At the end of the night, the Pope awarded prizes to the dudes who fucked the most. And C, The queen hosts a masquerade ball for the king and his nobles. The king's brother shows up late, shit-faced, drunk, carrying a torch. In his inebriated stupor, he lights the performers' costumes on fire, killing four. The city riots because the king wasn't better protected from the flames coming off of the burning alive performers. The king's brother walks barefoot through the streets as punishment.
I know C is true.
So the king's brother rolls on like, hey, everybody.
What? Yeah, there used to be a tradition that what they would do, I think it was for a certain, I can't remember if it was like the summer solstice or whatever, but they would dress up as like these woodland creatures. And so basically they had like a bunch of sticks and stuff on them, and they would come and kindling. Part of like the thing was like you would go and like scare the women. And so you would dress up as these woodland creatures and scare women and then dance with them or whatever. But like their their costumes were made out of like hay sticks and like stuck together with fucking tar. And so he came in and accidentally set a dude on fire. And then that dude like ran around and set the fucking room on fire. Like it was horrific.
And then they rioted after that?
I think so.
Hey, guys. Check it out. Look at this costume. It looks so great. Look at the detail.
Yeah.
Sit closer.
And then I think B? I think that's what Hugh Hefner used to get up to in the Playboy Mansion.
So B would be... So Hugh Hefner awarded people for fucking the most?
Yeah.
That sounds fucking there's nuts.
Like after his death, like his limo driver came out and like during like for like their company Christmas party, he would have these sex things and like would like if you were doing a good job, he would start like giving you $100 bills like as you were doing it.
Jeez. So did it come out then Playboy Mansion was a little assaulty?
It was. Look, they were all I'm sure they were all consenting.
Sure.
Look, yeah, it's weird. I don't want to kick a guy when he's down.
I mean, the dude lived in a robe. I don't know how much you can tear him down.
Yeah. No, I think. He was always heralded as like this like wise, sex positive dude. I'm like, I think he was one step away from having a cult.
Yeah, he was. He threw out a lot of Epstein vibes that, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe weren't as great as it was in the 80s and 90s.
Look, but he had a legitimate magazine as his kind of cover.
It's true. So,
but yeah, I think like you were saying that story. I'm like, I remember like it's like a Vanity Fair article or whatever.
So it's probably B.
Yeah, if we're looking for which one's not true.
Yeah, which one is not a reported medieval scandal? So I know
C happened. And I'm pretty sure, like, if I remember, I'm pretty sure B is Hugh Hefner.
All right, let's go with B. Because A is farmer cut the toe off of the king by accident. King couldn't perform because of an infection, right? And so in doing so, the king hangs the plow, the farmer, and the queen.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
So take that plow.
I like the hang the plow. That's the only one I don't know anything about.
I don't know either. It sounds stupid enough.
It's like the hanging of the plow is such a good detail that I'm like, it probably happened.
Well, let's go for B then.
And the only way that I think things in there, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Hugh Hefner.
The only thing that maybe we might get wrong is if Hugh Hefner based it off of this Pope's parties.
Mm-hmm.
So... But I say, if you've heard of it as a Playboy thing, let's roll with that. Because, I mean, that's the best we got.
Right, yeah.
Every one of these could happen.
Right. I mean, Trial by Combat happened, and I genuinely did not see that coming.
Yeah, how far of a stretch is it to hang the plow? You know? All right, then let's go for fact number two. Let's go B, that the Pope threw a sex banquet with... or the son of the Pope threw a sex banquet with 50 ladies of the night, and they would pick up chestnuts and shit with their mouths while bare-ass naked, and the Pope's son or the Pope would be awarding prizes for who would fuck the most. God. All right, three, two, 1. Bam.
Oh, it's A.
Fuck.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
God damn it. Hanging the plow. I guess that was too far for me.
It was just too much, I guess.
So the king's drunk brother killing 4 dancers by setting their costumes on fire was a real event known as the Ball of the Burning Men.
Oof.
King Charles was narrowly saved, and the citizens became upset because their king was seen as fragile due to the bouts with mental illness. He suffered from delusions wherein he was convinced he was made of glass and reinforced his legs with iron bars to prevent himself from shattering. Yeah, that's inbreeding. That's inbreeding. Some Vatican historians have tried to say that the Papal Palace pussy party couldn't possibly be true. But on the flip side, it was written about contemporaneously by Pope Alexander VI. Would not be the first pope that was down to fuck, nor the last. I was surprised to learn the pope had a son. Turns out loads have resulted in loads of pope kids, often with loads of married women. I know, the pope got around. Less surprising is the pope's horny nepo baby was a cardinal in the church when he threw the banquet of chestnuts, and that nobody lost their jobs over it. In 1507, Nepo Pope Baby's castle was attacked by rebels during a storm. He chased them down on horseback and outpaced his backup foes. Alone and outnumbered, the rebels killed him without finding out first who he was. The rebel leader was livid upon realizing the ransom sum he could have scored for an alive son of the Pope and heir to the papacy.
Yeah, now you got to settle for dead Nepo Pope Baby.
Yeah. Dude, riding ahead? Yeah, come on. That's stupidity 101. He's like, I got this. Look, enemy forces. Yeah.
Look, we all know he gave out money for those who plowed ahead. So it was just in his nature.
I'm going to plow the most.
Yeah. He was given the big cash prize.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Now they showed him what's for sure. Fuck that. God damn it.
Damn.
Pope stories are so fucking crazy.
I was pretty sure on that one.
Yeah, I wanted to see the thing hang.
Such a thing. Like, I could totally see it happening. Like,
so if it happened to what's his face, the Hugh Hefner, he probably based it off of.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So fuck these questions are hard. God, we're getting fucked.
It's not great.
We're getting plowed right now, Joe. We're not going to get a prize.
You, we're not getting the big cash prize.
Hey, Joe here from Allegedly. Real quick, I want to tell you about this week's sponsor, Newsly. Newsly is an audio app for your iOS or Android that picks up the most trending articles from the topics that are most important to you, and here's the trick, reads them to you in a natural human voice. From the Batman to Bitcoin, Kiev to the Kardashians, follow any topic your heart desires. And while you're there, go ahead and check out their featured podcasts from over 50 countries, like, say, I don't know, Allegedly. I've been using it for over a week now, and I'm loving the convenience of having my news and podcasts all in one place. So come and join me by clicking the link in the description and downloading Newsly for free. As an added bonus, go ahead and use the promo code Allegedly and receive 1 month of their premium subscription for free. Stop scrolling and start listening. Okay, back to the show.
All right, here we go. Fact number 3. Which is not a real medieval festival celebrated in Europe? Is it A, Feast of the Ass, B, Feast of the Fools, or C, Feast of the Degenerates?
Well, fools and degenerates seems
redundant.
Yeah.
So then one of them has to be true, right? I think Feast of the Ass is true.
That's what happened. That's what was happening at the Pope's house.
That's. What are we going to call this? Well, they're picking up chestnuts with their mouths while bare naked, and then we have intercourse with them. Of course, we're going to call it the Feast of the Ass. Why not Feast of the Chestnuts?
But I make them pick it up with their anus.
Yeah, what are you, some kind of degenerate?
Get out of here.
Go to the Feast of the Fools, you fool. I am a cardinal. I know how to name events.
Every time I think of a cardinal, I just think of Tim Curry from The Three Musketeers.
He was so good. Oh, shit. But yeah, I don't know. It could be any of these. Because they're all like plays on being an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. An ass, a fool, or a degenerate. I feel like I've heard of the Feast of the Fools before.
Yeah, and I mean ass, or it could be donkey. Like, donkeys were useful, so I can imagine like really that useful. It might have a feast of it.
So, what are you feeling? What is it?
My whole compass has been thrown off.
Let's go Feast of the Degenerates. I feel like degenerate is a little too proper for a fool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're gonna go for an outrageous feast to celebrate the idiocy, right, of humanity. Like, calling something the Feast of the Ass sounds apropos. Mm-hmm. Same with Feast of the Fool. But, like, we're Feast of the Degenerate. I think degenerate has more, less of a happy tone and sure. more of, like, a rapey tone. You know, like, Feast of the Fool would be, like, you dress in, like, stupid clothes and you make dumb jokes and you drink too much and you do cartwheels and puke and shit. Like, that's
right. Feast of the Fool. St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah. Feast of the Degenerate sounds like I throw a cloak on, I secretly like put something in your drink, you know?
That right, St. Like Paddy's Day.
Oh, depending on where you go, I guess.
I mean, or just any fraternity, really.
God, yeah. Sad. Can't even fully laugh at that one. So
that's just Notre Dame's polo team.
Just a Tuesday game for them. So what are you thinking?
I say, Dobby, let's go to the Feast of the Degenerates.
Yes, the Feast of the Degenerates. Are you bringing the drugs or am I? Who's wearing the codpiece? Oh, this is the Feast of the Fools, not the Degenerates. Oh, our Feast of the Degenerates at
end. Oh, is it St. Paddy's Day already?
It's already St. Paddy's Day. Ah. Don't forget to bring the Feast of the Ass condoms, yes. Darby. You'll be Willoughby. I'll be Darby. Yes, Willoughby. I'm looking forward to this year's Feast of the Ass. Last year's was a sloppy endeavor that I surely enjoyed.
Sloppy endeavor.
Oh, that's fucked up. Somewhere there's a party like that.
Somewhere.
Well, the Pope's party was.
Well, to be fair.
Ah, yes, you're going to the Pope's party, yeah.
I do hope he doesn't ride too far ahead this time.
Both at the party and the after party as well. Makes quite a sport of showing himself riding this horse, yeah.
Hmm.
The writer sent me, allegedly, a sloppy endeavor. It's pretty close. It's apropos, pretty apropos. Really. At least it's not an ass endeavor.
It's just an endeavor of nugs.
Nugs. Yes, the Pope nugged a little too hard at that party. Mm. Got himself killed. Or the cardinal, I guess. Pope's son.
Right, yeah.
Let's. All right.
We wouldn't want to get that wrong.
Yeah, somebody's going to be mad. All right, so I'm thinking C, Feast of the Degenerates. What do you think?
Yeah. All right. It's not very catchy.
It's not. It's not a little too long. So we're going to go C for fact number three, which is not a medieval festival celebrated in Europe. And we're going to say C, Feast of the Degenerates. 3, 2, 1, bam. It is Feast of Degenerates.
Fuck, we did it. Staving off that zero again.
I know. So it's not real, unfortunately. So it says the Feast of the Ass is a way less sexy than it sounds. It was a celebration in January, mostly in France, where a young lady carrying a child would ride through the square on a donkey down to the church. Then they would mass with the donkey next to the priest at the altar. Wow, that's like a fucking buzzkill.
Huh.
Like, that is Darby and Willoughby being like, put down those Feast of Fool condoms, you idiot. This is the Feast of the Ass.
Put show on your church some clothes. Respect.
This is a fancy endeavor. It says the Feast of the Fools was a fun satirical celebration, a tongue-in-cheek rebellion, and a fuck you to the man. On January 1st, they would elect a peasant to become bishop for a day, engage in fun and parodied church rituals, and generally make fun of the rich and powerful. It was frowned upon, of course, but was still celebrated for about 500 years.
Right on.
Damn. Feast of Degenerates is fake, but plays on the trope that peasant feasts and festivals were rowdy, debaucherous, and lacking in manners and social civility. In art, paid for by wealthy people, lower classes were shown throwing food on the table, flooring through on the floor, table, and clothing disheveled people in all states of inebriation. So just like fucking chaos. Nobles were portrayed as neat, orderly, proper, and classy while they ate. Give me a degenerate peasant feast any day. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest here. Like, I tell my wife all the time, like, you know, we call people stupid, right? You're like, oh, that guy's just so dumb, right? But, like, we have never experienced the level of dumb of people that are, like, forcefully uneducated. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's willfully uneducated, but, like, there are no educational options back then, right? Like, their poop areas in, like, Roman times who were considered culture was, like, a gigantic fucking room with, like, fucking 60 holes that you shit in, and you all shared like a sponge on a stick. That's how you wiped your ass, and you would like hand it to the next guy.
That's pretty good.
I mean, for the time, it was great.
It's not bad.
Like, but that was their like best bet. So, you know, they're showing them like throwing food and shit. Honestly, that might not even be that might be like civilized for what they think. Oh shit, but we got it right. You got it right, Joe. My God.
Finally.
All right. Here we go. Fact number 4. Which is not a fun and entertaining way to serve meat to nobles in Middle Ages? Is it A, cutting the chicken and pig in half and sewing the upper half to one, of one to the lower half of the other? B, placing a cooked chicken astride a cooked pig to look like it was riding it? Or C, placing a cooked pig astride a cooked chicken to look like it was riding it.
I know A is true. That's a cockatrice.
Check it out, my lord. It's a cockatrice. I found him in the woods.
they would make that dish in order to try to recreate the mythical creature. And so you would cook, like, you would literally sew one half.
When did pig become dragon? I thought it was a serpent.
What's that?
I thought it was like half rooster, like half serpent.
Yeah, I think it was just more of a like an art,
artistic interpretation.
Yeah, artistic interpretation of it.
Got it.
Like, it still had to be edible. But yeah, they would literally sew half of a pig to half of a bird.
So then, what would they do then? So they would they put the chicken on the pig or the pig on the chicken? I think chicken on the pig sounds like easier.
It's certainly easier. Yeah.
Because the pig, I think you can kind of leave whole when you roast it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chickens, you have to de-feather, so it probably looks like a little riding dude, right?
Yeah, I would think it would be the obvious one would be the chicken is riding the pig.
I think this one's easy, cut and dry. If they do it the other way, then I can understand why the fucking rich people thought peasants were dumb. Okay,
because yeah, everyone was kind of dumb though.
I'm like, the chicken is literally built to look like he's riding the pig. Why would you do it the opposite and have the pig like standing on the rooster? Get the fuck out of here. Sew them together and present a dish that it looks nice, okay?
Unless they tied all four hooves into a point. And then so he's like tippy-toed on the back of the chicken.
Okay, I can see. I can feel that.
But then like cooked, it loses, like, it's only funny if the chicken's whole, right?
Yeah.
Like you would need to leave the feet on the chicken. Or else it just looks like a bird tied to the bottom of a fucking pig. I'm just trying to visualize what this would look like.
Let's go with B. Placing a cooked chicken astride a cooked pig to look like it. I think that's it. I think that's my vibe.
Which one is not?
C then. I'm sorry. Which right. one would not? You're right. Placed a cooked pig astride a cooked chicken to look like it was riding it. So yeah. The pig on top of the chicken.
I just can't fully comprehend C.
Because I feel like just naturally humans would start there. Like, you're not going to lift a pig carcass and be like, look, it's riding it. And they're like, that's hilarious, you know?
Right.
It would be the opposite. Like, look at the two dishes they're riding. And he's like, that's hilarious. Show him the Lord.
We got to go with what's funnier.
It is. I just think, just logistically, it's funnier and easier to present.
Because
you can make him look like a little person.
Yeah, I think 100%. You could have, like, the little legs on riding the sides of him.
Yeah. And then, like, the little hooked hands, like, can hold, like, a little the makeshift thing that attaches into the apple. Oh, God, apple
I hope it had, like, a bridle on it and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could be, like, they'd probably be, like...
It's like a bridle made of braided bacon.
Or bread.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then fucking...
I hope it had a saddle.
And then you call it a... You call it, like, the neighboring king or the enemy king. You eat it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See how easy this is?
Comedy
it's the king
gold.
Of France, my lord.
Yeah, if it's C, these people were missing out golden opportunities.
Yeah. Somebody's peasants were a little less educated than other peasants.
What I'm saying is they needed to get the... the whistle fart jump guy to punch up these jokes.
Yeah, dude, that's exactly what happened here. They're like, oh, that's very impressive, Peter. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. They're like, don't worry, my lord, we got the one fart whistle jump guy.
Yeah,
jump. That's amazing. This party would be remembered for 100 years.
Comedy gold, this man.
So, all right, then let's go C for fact number 4. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so for fact number 4, we're going to go C, which is not a fun and entertaining way to serve meat to nobles in the Middle Ages. C is placing a cooked pig astride a cooked chicken to look like it was riding it. 3, 2, 1, bam. It is C.
Okay, cool. The world makes sense again.
Astride a cooked chicken, not that is a thing, not that I'm aware. A cock and trees, yeah, you're right, was a disturbing medieval dish where half of a young pig was sewn to the lower half of a rooster or turkey to make it look like it had chicken legs. They would also put the top of the rooster to the back half of the pig so as not to waste the meat. The helmeted cock was a cooked rooster astride a cooked pig to look like a little knight riding with his steed.
Dude, he totally did.
Serving the meat sewn together on top or inside of the other meat was popular for those who could afford such extravagant luxuries. Per the Atlantic, a Yorkshire Christmas pie involved 5 different birds stuffed in a coffin-shaped crust. A true live roast is 12 different birds stuffed together, and you can still buy them for around $1,200. It's 55 pounds of meat, feeds 125 people, and takes 10 hours of cooking time. The ultimate cooking flex was the roast without equal involving 17 birds all stuffing into each other because why the fuck not?
Dude.
I'm going to share this out real quick just to show you our little guy. Let me know when you can see him.
Fuck yeah, dude.
There he is. Little guy riding it with a little helmet.
He's like, yeah.
They gave him a little shield and a flag.
I'm docking points for no saddle, but
yeah.
Besides that, perfect.
The presentation I think would be a lot better if it was done now, right? Like,
right.
Like Gordon Ramsay's like, look at this presentation. No saddle, no, no bridle. This is garbage.
You stupid fuck.
Can I eat the shield? No. Fucking garbage. And that's when the serious music plays. Dun, 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 dun,
right. Dun, dun. Look at it. It's fucking raw.
Well, we had to cook 2 different chickens. It's fucking raw. Oh my God. The writer just texted me over a bunch of different ones too. yeah, she says, Google helmeted cock at your fucking your own risk. This is fucking raw. I'm sorry, my lord. Get this out of my... Where is my cock and trace? Where is my cock and trace? That looks disturbing,
you
too.
You call this a helmeted cock. I call it shite.
Utter shite.
Utter shite. It's garbage.
That's it. I'm going to the Feast of the Ass.
You're never more exciting gonna than... win Kitchen Nightmares Juniors.
Castle Nightmares.
Now go back to your 7th grade class, you cunt.
Go back to the dungeon with you.
Gordon Ramsay under fire for yelling at a 12-year-old.
Instead of, what is it, the where you walk off the show, it's like, I'm sorry, you've been executed.
They're like, hang him next to the plow.
And hang all of his cooking utensils, too.
He was hanged later that day with his whisk.
For birthing such a monstrosity. shit.
His, right. His apron was cut into 6 different pieces and hung under 6 different bridges as a reminder.
His apron was drawn and quartered. Chef's hat was burned alive. He was hanged alongside his whisk and his apron was drawn and quartered. The other bakers made sure to bake their helmeted cock all the way through. Oh, shit. All right, dude. You ready for the last fact?
Let's do it.
All right. Fact number 5. During the Middle Ages, Saint Fiacre. There we go. Was the patron saint of... Is it A, wind, and therefore people with excessive gas? B, coffee, and therefore people with fatigue? Or C, gardening, and therefore people with hemorrhoids? It's got to be C, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, maybe squatting down to, like, garden? This one got you, Joe.
That's so, so crazy.
You can thank fucking Saint Fiacre for preparation H. Thank you so much.
That was that's why I have no idea what hemorrhoids and gardening have to do with each other.
It's right, like it's so disconnected, it makes it feel like there's no way the writer could have made that up.
That's wild.
Coffee with fatigue, okay, I can see that, right? Like wind, yeah, but excessive
a patron
gas.
Saint of coffee.
Coffee, you're right. Coffee was a Turkish thing, wasn't it?
Like, let's, like...
And saints are Catholic.
Yeah. So, like, a saint of coffee? Seems wild.
Well, but see, the Catholic Church had a tendency to aggressively, you know, repurpose traditions or things, right, that other cultures had. I could see them making a patron saint of coffee in order to incorporate it into their... culture, right? They had to make some patron saint, because otherwise it wasn't, because I remember the church had issues with coffee, right? It was the devil's drink.
Yeah, a lot of the times coffee houses were served where like scientific minds would go, and so they didn't want to be associated with such devil craft.
So but I could see gardening. Like, what the fuck?
That's so wild. Like, I know Saint Francis is the saint of nature, and so he gets a lot of stuff in, like, plants and gardens and stuff like that.
It's kind of weird you get a sainthood and associate it with something, like, you have power over it, isn't it?
Right. Maybe it was, like, he grew herbs, and so it's, like, a medical thing, and he was, like, really good with, he specialized in hemorrhoids.
It wasn't just hemorrhoids he would help.
Or maybe he was just really good at getting rid of them. I don't know.
He's like, all right, bend over. Yes, look at it. Look, you can just push it right back in.
Right back in.
You're good. He's like, my God,
Saint Fiacra, you've done it again.
Right. Hey, you just got to put a little pressure on it, push it right back in.
Boop. And then put a little lavender on there.
Yeah, take some witch hazel.
Make it smell good. Little sprig of lavender.
Little witch hazel on there. It's going to burn like a bitch for a little bit, but it'll be good.
It just run back right up inside.
Yep, there it is. Gone.
Bye-bye, hemorrhoid.
Hey, hello.
Why are we mixing this like patron saint with like Patch Adams from fucking?
He's like, oh, hello. There's a little hemorrhoid under there. Let me get that for you. Oh, it goes right back in. Look, whoop. So the Pope could have helped you out with that, but I was standing right here. I got it for you. Dropped your pants right in front of me. I didn't expect that, and I saw a little hemorrhoid. Whoop, right back in.
Yeah, oh, we members
of the Lollipop Guild.
I'm going to pop out like I did in The Wizard of Oz. Oh, hey.
There's a horse of a different color.
Well, it's like a clown car down here. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, half a dozen. Ha ha.
They call me the patron saint of gardening. I am the patron saint of, medical supplies that go right up the butt. Oh,
oh, no, where'd my nose go?
Trade my red nose for a brown one.
So, I'm gonna go see. I don't care what happens.
Yeah, you're like, screw it, let's go see.
Fuck it, it has to be real. And if it's not, I'm gonna petition the Catholic Church to make Robin Williams the patron saint of gardening. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Okay, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, we're gonna go. For fact number five, we're gonna go see. During the Middle Ages, Saint Fiacra was the patron saint of gardening and therefore people with hemorrhoids. 3, 2, 1. Ooh, it is C.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Hey, I tell you, it doesn't smell like roses down there. Ooh.
I like spending a lot of time in my garden. It's way better than spending a lot of time in your garden.
Right?
Ooh.
I'll tell you what hedges I'd like to trim.
I gotta tell you, my garden has a lot less bugs than you do.
Oh my God. The writer says, I have regrets for this one. She says she's dying. Oh my God. All right, let's read this. Saint Fiacra was a 7th century monk with a raging case of hemorrhoids. Uh-huh. He sat on a rock one day and was miraculously cured. The rock became known as Saint Fiacra's Rock. Seeing on it became part of a prescribed treatment plan for fellow hemorrhoid users, or hemorrhoid sufferers. He was also the patron saint of gardening. And when offered the amount of land that he could till in one day, he used his staff and divine intervention to make the land till itself. A woman accused him of sorcery, but the bishop declared it a miracle of God. Combine the two to get the worst nickname for an ailment imaginable, as hemorrhoids became known as Saint Fiacra's Figs. God. For Wikipedia.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's one hell of a fig Newton.
Oh! I see you've got more than one, though. You know, just like big Newtons. Can't have less than one, you know? Oh.
Per Wikipedia, he wore many saintly hats, including the patron saint of gardens, vegetables, and medicinal plants. Also venereal diseases, infertility, hemorrhoids, and fistulas. But also box makers, plowboys, pewters, tile makers, and cab drivers. If resting your figs on Fiacra's...
Wait, what?
Yeah. He is also the patron saint of box makers, plowboys, pewterers, tile makers, and cab drivers.
It's very well known that all of them are big hemorrhoid sufferers.
Yeah, they are. It's their sitting jobs.
Yeah.
Except for plowboys. That's a whole different thing. That sounds like a Pope thing.
Oh, it's a Pope thing.
I was like, it's not the only thing a Catholic Church was aggressive about.
Last time I saw a plowboy, he was at the Feast of the Chestnuts. Oh.
Oh.
fucking hate. So if resting your figs on Fiacra's rock didn't help, which it never did, doctors would scrape them off with their fingernails or shove a hot iron poker up your ass. God damn.
Mm, give me the rock.
Yeah, give me the rock first. Let's start there. I mean, they still kind of burn them off now, right? They cauterize the vein. So this is kind of the predecessor of that, but it sounds like... Just take it! God. Oh, well. Oh, well. I mean, the pain might be better than getting a fucking hot rod in your ass.
Right?
Might even be with it. You might like it.
Give it a shot. I like how like I have like I like how my Robin Williams has just turned into Yogi Bear.
I can tell you, having a hemorrhoid is no picnic basket.
I got a picnic of figs.
The writer just texted me Saint Fiacra's nugs.
Let me take care of that nug for you. You seem to be sitting weird. Sit on this rock. Might help out. Oh, it doesn't? Let me take care of that nub. For the right price, the Pope can take care of this for you. Hoo-hoo.
Ooh. Oh, you say you got some figs? Let me call it a date.
Oh, hoo. Oh, my God. Well, we got it right. It was gardening. We came back, Joe. We came back strong. We did. We got the first two wrong and then 3 out of 5, so that's pretty normal. And then we got the bonus, man.
Ooh, are you ready for the bonus?
We're really plowing now, boys.
Plowing right ahead, just like the Pope's son. Oh, let's hope we don't die like him.
Oh, here's the thing. There is no optional bonus. So,
oh, there is none.
This. The bonus was a fig Newton in the ass. Oh,
well, tell you what, there was a real hemorrhoid on my plans. Turns out I got preparation. Ouch.
Are you ready to prepare the preparation outro, Joe? Oh, oh.
Well, there you have it. That was this week's Allegedly podcast. Tune in next week, and every week, wherever you find your fine podcasting. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, every single one. The X, the Instas, the X again. Maybe the Twitch. Are we on the Twitch? No. What else are the kids doing these days? Now it's so off the rails. Anyways, follow us on the socials. Email us at allegedly.podcast@gmail.com. And until next time.
Oh, we'll see you next time. Oh, we'll see your figs next time.
Hey, if sitting on the rock don't work, come back to us.
We'll prescribe more things like hot irons in the ass.